Well, we live in a different day, a different age. Some things are more difficult, but we have to admit some things are far better than what our great-grandparents lived, and different things happened in previous generations. Ladies, we live in a day and age in which the possibilities of women are endless. And being the father of four daughters, I think that is wonderful. But there is a drawback. The world will quickly tell ladies that happiness for you is to focus your attention outside the home. Be a successful businesswoman. Do whatever, but don't worry about the family. Focus outside the family. And too often, young women who desire to focus upon raising their children and being there for their husband are made to feel less than successful. Wasn't that many years ago, one politician, basically a female politician, said, well, what did you expect, me to stay home and bake cookies? I mean, putting down the idea of a homemaker. So many wives look upon the world's expectation and the world's promises and then their own desires to have a happy family, and they wonder, well, what's a wife to do? Well, let me simply answer that despite what the self-proclaimed experts, what friends and what even family may say, true happiness comes from discovering and obeying God's principles. That is not saying that women cannot do so many things, they can. But we also need to focus upon the mainstay of this nation, which is the family. When we think about marriage, a happy marriage is one in which the wife fulfills her God-given role. So what is that? Well, first of all, she is to submit to her husband. She is to submit to her husband. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. This is where I get myself in trouble. I just read the scriptures and I get people say, what? Am I a second-class citizen? What do you mean, submit to my husband? And let me say, the trouble is that people misunderstand what God is teaching here. And I'll be honest, one of the reasons they misunderstand, it has been taught wrong, and it's been preached wrong. So let's understand what submission is. Biblical submission is not a matter of inferiority. It is a matter of authority. You see, the word submit is a military term. That's the reason we have the picture of military men standing here. It's a military term which means lining up in rank. There are ranks in an army. Now, does that mean that a buck private is stupid? No. A buck private could be just as smart. Matter of fact, he could be smarter. He could be more resourceful than his captain or his general is. But that's not the point. The point is a captain is above a private. A general is above a captain. There has to be ranks. If everybody was left to their own self, can you imagine on a battlefield? Okay, here come the enemy. I say we do this. I say we do this. I say we do this. I don't know about you, but I'm going back that way. You have to have an order of command and a chain of command, and someone is saying this is the strategy and this is how we do it. It does not mean someone is less than another person. It's not being inferior. There has to be authority. May I say very clearly and understand this, women are not inferior to men. That is not taught in the Bible. And when people try to say, well, Christianity tries to put women down. No, biblical Christianity has lifted women up to a place where they were meant to be. You go back to the Roman world. You go back to the Greek world. You go back to any of these different ones. You go back to the Muslim idea of looking at things, although they did do some things for women, but you look at that. No, women are subclass citizens. In some society, women basically had no more right than a slave. That is not biblical. And where true Christianity has been preached, women have been lifted up to where they are supposed to be. Women are not inferior to men, nor is a wife inferior to her husband. That is not being taught. She is not to be a doormat. And if men, if you treat her that way, you are being unbiblical. She is not a slave, but it's a matter of authority. Let me take you to another verse. Jot this over in your margin, or jot it on a piece of paper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the beginning of verse 3. Paul writes, "But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God." Did you catch that last part? The head of Christ is God, God the Father. Is Jesus Christ inferior to God the Father? No. That's heresy. The early church had to look and go into the Bible and determine what is the position of Jesus Christ. He is part of the triune Godhead. He's co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But even in the Godhead per se, there is an aspect of authority. And in that aspect, God the Father is the leader. In the same way, the wife is not inferior to her husband. They're co-equal. But there has to be a leader. There has to be a head. God established the line of authority back in the Garden of Eden, where man was to be the head, Adam was to be the head of the family. And for a marriage to be happy, this still must be followed. Does that mean that the husband just goes ahead? As we looked at last, we talked about husbands. He just goes ahead and does whatever he wants? No, he needs to talk with his wife. They need to work things out. But if it comes to the final decision, the husband is the one who's responsible to God and needs to make the decision. Now, along with that, biblical submission is not slavery. See, Pastor, you're trying to make me a slave. No, it is freedom. May I say this, ladies? No one can make you submit. Submission is an attitude of the heart. It's like the little boy with his parents, his mom, and he got in trouble. And his mom said, "You go sit in the corner." He went over and sat in the corner. He looked at her and he said, "I may be sitting outside, but I'm still standing up inside." No one can change your heart. Submission is a matter of the heart. I love my husband. I want the best for the home, and therefore I will follow his leadership. May I say, oh, you'll be happier and you will truly have freedom to reach your full potential when you do submit to a loving husband. I've heard the illustration like this. When is a train most free? Think of a train on the railroad tracks running around. Go, I don't know, how fast does a train go? 100 miles, I don't know, 100 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour. I'm not a train person. Going along full speed. When is that train most free? When it's on the tracks, or what do you say? You're the engine, and the engine has personality and says, "I don't want to follow these tracks any longer. I want to be free. I'm going to go off the tracks and run over the hillside." Yeah, how's that going to work? Train wreck. Nobody wants to see the train off the tracks. That train is not free when it's off the tracks, but when it's doing what it should be in on the tracks. That's where freedom is, doing what it's meant to do and its full potential. And so in a marriage, a husband being the loving, learning leader, and the wife submitting, biblical submission. Submission is the freedom to make your marriage a happy union. Thirdly, we notice about this, biblical submission is not optional, really, but essential. Now, nobody can force you, but it's really, in God's sight, not optional if you want to have a happy marriage, but it's essential. It's essential, first of all, if you desire to please God. Notice, again, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. What does that mean? It means in a proper marriage relationship, submitting to your husband is submitting to the Lord. Because you're doing what God wants you to do. Therefore, if you want to please God, you submit to your husband. It's also essential if you desire to have a good testimony before the world. Paul told Timothy in He told Titus, not Timothy, he told Titus, what you need to do is you need to teach the men this, you need to teach the women this. And he says, teach the older women that they should teach the younger women, and I quote, Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, to love their husbands, to love their children. You think, well, you need to be taught to love? Yes, in a society they need to be taught. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In other words, Paul's saying Titus is like this. Teach the older ladies to teach the younger ladies. They should be submissive to their husbands, because when they don't, the unsaved world looks upon them and says, you act like that? And it puts the cause of Christ down. If they're known for being nagging, quarrelsome, always putting their husbands down and saying horrible things and just being totally disrespectful, says that doesn't give a good testimony to the world. Thirdly, it is essential if you desire to have happiness, since you cannot disobey God's commands and God's principles and then expect to be happy. That works in anything in our lives. God says, you know, as a Christian, you need to be in the Word of God. I don't want to read the Word of God. You're not going to be happy. You're not going to mature. You need to find a good church home and be going there all the time. It says there, you know, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together. I'd rather be out on the lake. I grew up as a country boy and like to hunt. I'd rather be out hunting. No. You cannot be praising God as much on the lakeside or out there in the fields or doing whatever as you can in church where you're supposed to be. In the same way, we look upon business, and we're told in the Bible that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. If you're going into business, you better have a Christian business partner if you're going to have a partner, because if you have an unsaved partner, you're going to have conflicts. You look at marriage. A Christian is to marry a Christian, or you're asking for troubles and heartaches. And therefore, in the aspect of submission, if you truly want happiness, you find that biblical aspect of biblical submission, and men have that biblical aspect of biblical loving leadership. Secondly, not only is she to be submissive, she is to help her husband. She is to help her husband. Go back to the very first book of the Bible, the book of beginnings. Lays the foundation for everything else in the Christian life. Genesis chapter 2. God has created Adam. He has created the animals. He also then creates Eve. Chapter 2. Go to verse 18, please, with me. When he's getting ready to create Eve, notice what he says. And the Lord God said, it is not good. You know, he's looked at everything else and said, it is good. And it is very good. And then he looks at Adam and he says, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. God created woman because, honestly, man needs a helper. Now, there are exceptions. Understand, for men and women, there are some people that God says, no, it's my will that you be single. But for the majority, usually, it's people get married. And God created woman because man needed a helper. It is a basic biblical truth that is disappearing from our contemporary society, but the reality is still there. Ladies, you are to be a helper suitable to your husband. Again, that's not a second-class citizen, not when you understand what it means. You have been brought alongside your man by God to bring him complete fulfillment. You're married? Understand this. Your husband will never be the man God meant for him to be without your help. That's why he brought you into his life. That's not second class, that's first class. That is such an important role. Now let me say something that sounds kind of redundant. As a helper, you should help your husband. Well, duh, pastor. Wait, think about it. You should help your husband. Now there's multiple aspects of that. As part of your help, is your wise counsel. You're not to be silent. You're not to be a mouse. You're not to ever say squeak. You are to give counsel. I've really had good counsel all through my married life. We read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. As a nation, if there's no good counsel and the leadership just says, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, ask for disaster. In a home, men, if you want a disaster, just never ask your wife's advice. Never ask what she thinks. No. If you want to succeed, you need counsel. We read in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, without counsel, plans go awry. We need that counsel. We need that input. We need to listen to it and pay attention. Not in one ear and out the other, but pay attention. So give him your counsel. Men, be open to it. Part of this counsel is also your God-given gifts. Opposites attract. Now, I do know they attack as well sometimes later on, but she's not, men, who you are. He's not, ladies, who you are. You're different. You have your own gifts. Together, you're strong. And when one has one gift, let them use those gifts. When the other has another gift, let them use those gifts. I mentioned last week about the man who has a very gifted wife when it comes to finances and figuring things out, and yet he can't add two and two together and get four, and yet he thinks he should run the business aspect of the family. That's not wise management. So ladies, give your counsel and also use your God-given gifts. Don't hide them under a bushel. Thirdly, part of this help is your loving support. Support him. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, has some interesting words. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Think of a cold day. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I saw something yesterday at the wedding we went to I'd never seen before, and I thought it was so neat. They had a board with that verse about the threefold cord. It had a white cord going down the middle, and they had two brown cords going down the side. And my nephew and his wife-to-be went over there and took the two brown cords of the part of the ceremony and wrapped them around with the white cord. The two brown cords represented their own lives. The white cord represented God. You see, a Christian relationship is not just between two, it's between three. God is into it. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. And you support your husband. The world's going to try to tear him to pieces. He needs your support. There's times when he's going to want to give up, and you can encourage him to stay with the stuff. Thirdly, and I'm going to use the King James word for this, she is to reverence her husband. Reverence. Back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, only drop down to verse 33 towards the very end. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife. There we go, men, again. Love your wives as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. In the King James, reverence her husband. You should respect him. People say that word reverence. You mean I should treat him like a god? No. The word reverence doesn't mean that. The Greek word does mean to reverence. It means also to show respect. There's a book out there called His Needs, Her Needs. It's by a man by the name of Harley, I believe it is. You ever get a chance, pick it up, couples. It goes through, I wish I'd have had it when we first got married. It talks about the man's needs in a family, in the marriage relationship, and the woman's needs. They're not the same. And that's the trouble. Men know men, and women know women, and we don't understand each other. what is it? Men are from Venus, or men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or whatever that saying goes. We don't understand each other. And one of the main key aspects of a man is he needs respect. He needs to know, ladies, that you respect him. You think the world of him. He needs to hear it. It's amazing how the world can see nothing worthy in a man whatever, but the wife thinks he's the best man alive in the world. And he can keep going because she thinks he's worth something. When his boss doesn't, the neighbors don't, maybe the other relatives don't, but the wife does. I can't remember which author it was. I think maybe it was the author who wrote The Wizard of Oz. Whatever author it was, he lost his job. He felt as low as he possibly could. He didn't know what he was going to do. And his wife says, "Hon, you've always wanted to write. Maybe it's the time you should write." He became a world-renowned author. We need that, ladies. You need to respect your husband. And you should show respect. You say, "Well, I do respect him." Do you tell him? Does he see it? Let's be honest. And I think you will agree with me. Some women think it's their job to always be putting their husbands down. They talk to him about to their friends. They're always putting him down. They're out together. She's always making him the butt of the joke. That's not your role. You're to build them up. Speak highly of your husband. Make people respect him. I worked for years at a grocery store when I was right out of high school, and then later after college, I went back and I worked at another grocery store. And I had a lady I worked with in both places. At first she was single, and later she was married. And there was difficulties going on in the home. He had his faults. It's never it's one side. It's always both sides have problems. Both sides contribute. But she always put him down and always put him down. And towards the very last, for a while, the boss hired him to work at the store. And then she wondered why nobody liked him. "Well, you've ran him down for years. Why should we like the jerk?" Don't put him down. Man, your sisters and your brothers and your parents should think he is the greatest prize you caught. Your friends should feel envious because of the way you talk about him. Show respect. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." She's that treasure that God gave you. Ladies, would your husband say that he found a good thing? That you're that treasure that God gave him? That you are God's gift to him? Jeremy Taylor wrote, "A good wife is heaven's last best gift to man. Her voice, his sweetest music. Her smiles, his brightest day. Her lips, his faithful counselors. Her prayers, the ablest advocates of heaven's blessings on his head." Ladies, are you such a wife? The world will tell you many things to try to make your husband happy. But if you desire for your marriage to be truly happy, you need to follow God's path. Submit, help, and respect your husband. How are you doing in each of those areas? If the Spirit of the living God is convicting you of one of these issues, today's the time to settle that matter. May you allow God to make you into the wife that He desires for you to be, and your home into the happy family that He plans for it to be. Our Father in heaven, you know that I find it far easier to challenge the men than I do to challenge the women. But Lord, it's your word. And I pray, dear Lord, that hearts have been open and receptive. And I pray, dear Lord, that the men who are here today will not take this as something to put a chip on their shoulder, but rather, dear Lord, that they will help their wives and love their wives. Father, I pray for each of our families, each of our homes that are represented here. I pray, dear Lord, that you will have your perfect will, that you will strengthen the husband, strengthen the wife, the mom and dad, dear Lord, in this family with their children. And dear Lord, make their homes into a shining example to those about them and to their children and grandchildren. And Lord, if you were to tarry, great-grandchildren, may you have your perfect will in each of our lives. Forgive us when we fail, because we're all sinners saved by grace. But dear Lord, strengthen us and help us to go on to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed today. May you have a wonderful week.